This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. So we learned about the importance of studying the seerah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Why is it necessary to study the seerah? Why is it necessary? There are many reasons. Who made us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who sent us here in this world? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? And what is this life? If you were to use one word to describe this life, what word would that be? It is a test. This life is a test. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah has created death and life in order to test us as to which of us are good in our actions. So this is the test of life, our actions. How good are they? Now what is good? Every person has a different definition of good, right? But the one who made this world, the one who made us, he defines what is good, right? And so in order to teach us what is good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a guide, as a teacher, as someone whose example we can emulate. So we study the seerah in order to find out which lifestyle is the most beloved lifestyle to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We study the seerah to know which actions are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We study the seerah to attain Allah's pleasure. Because remember that our actions cannot be good. They cannot be beautiful. Our life cannot be beautiful if we do not follow the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because who was he? A role model for us. Uswa hasana. The best example. A role model for all of us. So, in order to improve our condition, in order to beautify ourselves, in order to improve ourselves, this is why we need to study the seerah. In order to successfully pass the test of this life. And you know these tests that come in our lives? A juz test, a translation test, a tajweed test, dua test. And this is just the beginning, right? Inshallah, there are many more to come. These tests remind us that every moment of our life is actually a test. Did you study for your test today? Are you worried about your test today? Would you like to do well in your test today? Inshallah. Would you like to pass your test? For sure, inshallah. And not just pass, but get good grades. So when this is the case with tests that only bring us marks and certificates in this life, which will finish, then what about the test of life which will bring us eternal reward or punishment in the Akhirah? Isn't that a test that we need to take seriously? Right? And in order to pass that test, in order to do good in that test, who do we need to follow? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we cannot follow him unless and until we know about him. And we cannot know about him unless and until we make the effort to study his life. So this is the reason why we're studying the seerah. Now just a quick review of what we learned yesterday. What is seerah? What is the literal meaning of the word seerah? To travel, to journey. And then seerah as a term, what does it mean? Biography. Tariqah. Alright, the way of life, meaning the way someone has lived their life, their conduct, their demeanor, their life history, their biography. And remember that the word seerah can apply to anyone's biography. You know, for instance, you may have heard seerah al-sahabiyat, the seerah of the female companions, right? Or seerah Abu Bakr, the seerah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But remember that in the Islamic context, when the term seerah is used on its own, then it refers to the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It refers to Hayatun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His life, his statements, his actions, his sifat, his qualities, his khalq and his khuluq, his appearance as well as his mannerisms. So remember that seerah is a comprehensive term that includes all of this. not just the life events, the major life events, but it also includes his mannerisms, his demeanor, it includes his physical appearance, and all of that. Now remember that when it comes to the Prophet ﷺ's life, meaning the incidents that occurred in his life in a chronological order, then we divide that into three sections. We divide seerah into three sections. The first section is the Prophet ﷺ, his life before prophethood. How long was that period? How many years? Good. 40 years. So that is one section of his life that we study. Then the next is when the Prophet ﷺ received prophethood until he did hijrah. So this is also known as the Meccan era. All right? So the Meccan era applies to which period of his life? From when he received prophethood until he migrated to Medina. And how many years was this? 13 years. Then the third section of the Prophet ﷺ's life is the Medinan era, which is from the time that he migrated to Medina until he passed away. And how many years is that? 10 years. Alright, so this is a seerah. It includes all of these three sections. Now, hadith is also a term that is used to describe the words, the actions, the approvals of the Prophet ﷺ. But remember, that applies to what he said, what he did as a prophet. So that is after prophethood. But seerah includes his life, the study of his life, even before prophethood. So you understand? Seerah includes the study of his life even before prophethood. Now, remember that studying the life of the Prophet ﷺ is not like studying the life of anyone else. There have been many people throughout history, people who have been very successful in what they have done. And we study the lives of various people who have been successful to learn what they did, how they reached, you know, their goals and how they became successful. And the reason is that we want to learn what they did so that we can also emulate that. And we can also become successful. But remember that out of all people who have been successful in their respective fields, who has been the most successful in every way, in every sense of the word? It is only the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is truly the most successful man in every sense of the word. And you'll find out why. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was he? Habibullah, the beloved of Allah. Al-Mustafa, the chosen one. And Allah made him successful. Allah made him dominant. Allah gave him victory. And we see that this is something, meaning his success, this is something that is testified by the Quran. All right, we see that the Prophet ﷺ has been described as Uswa Hasana, the best example to follow. He has been described as Rahmah lil Alameen, a mercy to the worlds. But we see that it's not just testified in the Quran, by the Quran, and this is not just something that is said by the Muslims, but also non-Muslims. Even they acknowledge the success of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you'll find many historians of the past and of the present who will acknowledge this fact and who will praise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for his success. You know, the famous author Michael Hart, I'm sure every one of you has heard about him. He said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he was the only man who was supremely successful in both secular and religious levels. So, not just successful, but what? Supremely successful. In what way? In the secular level as well as religious level. Because if you look at it, generally people who do succeed in life, who do have a big name, who have left some mark, you know, in this world, we see that either they have succeeded in worldly terms or they have succeeded in religious terms. We don't see a person, you know, reaching great heights at both levels, secular as well as religious, right? So for instance, people who have, you know, for instance, great philosophers, great thinkers, likewise scientists, all right? Or even the political leaders, people who've brought great revolutions, we see that generally they're far from religion. Or even if they are religious, that religiosity is just limited to their personal life. It's not like they have brought success to their religion also. And on the other hand, we see that people who have brought, you know, success to their religion, or they have excelled in their religion, they're not that successful in worldly terms. But we see that the Prophet ﷺ, really, if you look at his life, when it comes to ibadah, when it comes to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just take a cursory look at his fasts, his worship, his prayers, his dealings with other people. And not just that, at the same time, a political leader, and not just that, a leader of the army, in every sense of the word, as a family man, as a father, when he did business, in every sense of the word, we see that he was always, always successful. And this is the reason why the study of the Prophet ﷺ's life is a very noble study, because this is what leads a person to success. And when we realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an example to us to follow, then this really is a huge blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He's given us one man, follow him. Study his life, see how he was successful, what he did, what he said, and you'll be successful. And this is the reason why the coming of the Prophet ﷺ, this is described as a huge favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ
لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ Allah has certainly conferred a huge favor. Upon who? Upon the believers. And what is that huge favor? When He sent among them a messenger from themselves, who recites to them His verses and purifies them and teaches them the book and wisdom, although they had been before in manifest error. Look at the word لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ. مَنَّ اللَّهُ is from مَن, and مَن is used for a huge favor. It's a huge favor, endless favor. So the coming of the Prophet ﷺ, having him as our prophet, as our teacher, as our guide, is no ordinary blessing. This is a huge favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is a source of guidance for us. He has taught us. He has taught us what purifies us, what nurtures us. Yuzakkihim. Right? And for this blessing of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as grateful as we may be, it is insufficient. It is insufficient. Allah has given us many blessings. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is also a huge blessing for us from Allah azza wa jal. A prophet whom we can relate with. A prophet whom we can follow. A prophet who cared for us. A prophet who suffered for us. A prophet who strove for us. A prophet who conveyed everything beneficial to us, and a prophet who stopped us from anything and everything that could harm us. A true guide, a true blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the reason why we must look into the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for our own success, for our own salvation in this dunya as well as in the akhirah. Now, we also looked at the sources of seerah. Where do we take the seerah from? Right? Now, remember that the Prophet ﷺ, he is mentioned in the Qur'an, right? And this is the reason why the first source of seerah is what? The book of Allah, the Qur'an. But remember that the Prophet ﷺ, while he is mentioned in the Qur'an, his seerah is not mentioned in great detail. You know, for instance, Yusuf ﷺ, his entire life story is mentioned, right? Musa ﷺ, even his life is mentioned over and over again in various surahs. But the Prophet ﷺ's life, that is not described in such a manner in the Qur'an. And this is the reason why after the Qur'an we must refer to hadith as well in order to learn the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. So what are the two primary sources? The Qur'an and the sunnah. But then after that, we also look at the books that have been written exclusively on this subject. And what are those books? The books of Seerah. All right? Now, one may wonder that how are those books reliable? Somebody just sat one day and wrote down the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and it was passed on generation to generation. No, this is not how it happened. Remember that during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba, they wrote the Quran, they memorized the Quran. All right? And in order to understand the meaning of the Quran, they also recorded in their minds, as well as wherever they could, in a physical form, anything that would help them understand the Quran. And that includes the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it also includes the details of his life. All right? Because as we discussed yesterday, that the Quran cannot be properly understood unless you know the context in which it was revealed. And what is the context? The life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in the preservation of the Quran, what else was preserved? The seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why we see that one of the earliest books on seerah was written by Urwa. Who was Urwa? He was the nephew of Aisha radiallahu anha. All right? And basically, Aisha radiallahu anha was mahram to her. Right? And he was her student. He spent many years studying with her. And he asked her any question and every detail that he wanted to know. And of the things that he learned from her was also the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Urwa, it is said that he was the first man to ever compile or to ever record the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, what he wrote is not found today. We don't have that book that he wrote. But its name is mentioned, or the fact that he compiled it, this is well known in Islamic history. And then you saw the various books that were written over time. And we see that very soon after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ibn Ishaq, in which year did he record the seerah? Which year? 151. So we see that the seerah was compiled from the very beginning. All right? It was compiled from the very beginning. And we see that over the centuries, numerous books have been written on the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. According to a rough estimate, there are approximately 500,000 books. 500,000 books that are about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this number has not stopped because books continue to be written even today. Even today. And if you just look in the market for new books on seerah, you'll always find something new. You know, for instance, and these books are not just written by Muslims, but even non-Muslims. Right? You thought Ar-Rahiq al-Maktum was the book, right? And then when the moon split was the book, and then you find out, no, there's more books, right? There's many more books on the seerah which have been written by Muslims as well as non-Muslims, right? There's a British author by the name of Leslie, I forget the last name, but even she has written a book on the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam very recently, all right? And Karen Armstrong, I mean, these books are well known. Right? So Muslims and non-Muslims. And the reason is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his personality is such that no matter how much is read and how much is written about him, it just doesn't feel enough. Right? It doesn't feel enough. You read one book, you get one glimpse into the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You read another one, another glimpse. And then yet you see that people who are writing books about him, they don't think that the works that are already present have done justice, which is why they feel the need to write more. And every now and then there is a new book on the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why it is said that wala ghina anha, meaning from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, li fahmil hayat, meaning you cannot understand life without studying the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So numerous books have been written in order to make the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life understood and known to people. Because history is a testament to his success. Right? Everyone believes that he was successful. Now, when it comes to the books of seerah, one thing that you must understand is that there are many details found in the books of seerah. And these books may be classical, meaning very old, as well as contemporary, more recent ones, there are details found in the books of Sirah which are not entirely authentic. And this is why when we study the Sirah, we have to be a little critical. I mean, just because something is written in, you know, the book of Martin Lings, for example, on the life of the Prophet ﷺ. Martin Lings was a Muslim, he was a convert, and he wrote a book which is very beautiful on the life of the Prophet ﷺ, and it's named Muhammad ﷺ. It is beautiful, meaning it's written in the most beautiful way. It's literally written like a novel. And I would recommend that, along with this book, also use that book. All right? But there are some things that are mentioned in that book which are not entirely authentic. And this is the reason why there was a competition that was held by the government of Saudi Arabia, in which the challenge was that whoever would compile the most authentic book on the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would win $100,000. And many books were written. Many books were written. But who won the prize? The author of Ar-Rahiq al-Makhtum, The Sealed Nectar. All right. And who's that? Same author, Safiur Rahman Mubarakpuri. He was from India. And he wrote, the original book was in Arabic. Can you imagine? An Indian living in India, and he wrote a book on the life of the Prophet ﷺ in Arabic. And he won the prize. And then that book was translated into English as well as Urdu. The book that you have with you, When the Moon Split, this was also originally written in Arabic. From Arabic it was translated into Urdu, and then it was translated into English. So you understand now why many books of Sirah don't have that kind of flow? Because they're translated works. But still, inshallah, we will benefit from them. So anyway, the point that I'm making over here is that every detail that is found in books of Sirah is not necessarily authentic. And alhamdulillah, now there are books which are based on entirely authentic reports. Now, the reason why the scholars accepted even weak reports was that they treated Sirah like history. All right? And when it came to history, an incident that took place in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, or something that happened before the Prophet ﷺ was born, they weren't that strict with respect to the authenticity of those reports. They were a little lax over there, okay? Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he said, إِذَا جِئْنَا إِلَى التَّارِيخِ تَسَاهَلْنَا. When we approach tarikh, meaning history, then we are a little lenient. We don't put in too much effort to ensure that the report, that the chain of transmission is 100% authentic. But when it comes to hadith, then no, we are very strict. We are very strict. Okay? And this is the reason why we see that the earlier books of Sirah do contain reports which are not authentic. But alhamdulillah, later on, as the scholars progressed and realized the need to purge the inauthentic from the authentic, alhamdulillah, as the ahadith, they were clarified, the inauthentic were distinguished, were separated from the authentic, Sirah was also worked on in the same way. And alhamdulillah, now, there are many books which are based on as-Sirah, as-Sahihah, authentic Sirah, which is based on authentic reports, and that is something that we should seek. Now, remember that the scholars, the reason why they weren't that strict when it came to reports about Sirah is because they said, we're not deriving any laws from this. You understand? We're not deriving any laws from this. So something that happened before the life of the Prophet ﷺ. Okay, this happened. There was a battle between this tribe and that tribe. This tribe came in and evicted that tribe. Okay, we're not extracting any laws from this. This doesn't affect our halal and haram. You understand? This is why they weren't that strict. But hadith, if you say the Prophet ﷺ said such and such, we're extracting law from that. That better be authentic. You understand? However, later on, they realized the need that no, the life of the Prophet ﷺ, even that must be clear to us. Because the life of the Prophet ﷺ, that is supposed to be an example for us. Right? An example. Something that we have to emulate. So we better know for sure if that happened or not. So inshallah, as we study the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, we're also going to look at this. Inshallah, this is going to be based upon authentic reports. And this is the reason why we're using this book as our primary resource book. And the famous stories which have been circulated amongst the masses or which have been, you know, commonly believed in about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and these stories are not authentic, inshallah they will also be mentioned, inshallah, because we should know. You know, for instance, if you love someone and you want to know what happened, you want to know if it really happened. And if it didn't happen, please don't make it up. Right? Because otherwise you're in doubt. Now, also remember that the books of Sirah, they have been written from various angles. So for instance, some books, their approach has been entirely historic in the sense that it's like a book of history. This happened, then that happened, then that happened. Chronologically, everything has been recorded. Other books, the objective is to show the military aspect of the Prophet ﷺ's life. The Prophet ﷺ as a military leader, for instance, or the military expeditions. There are also books on the Prophet ﷺ as a teacher. So from his life, those sections have been recorded which show what kind of a teacher he was. And there is a very beautiful book by the scholar Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda on the Prophet ﷺ as a teacher and his teaching methodologies. And it has been translated into English also. So anyway, there are many books written on the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, and each book has a different approach because the objective was different. Now when we are studying the seerah, what is our objective? Each and every one of us is not a historian, nor are we members of the military or anything like that. So is the seerah still going to be relevant to us? We have to make it relevant, right? Because the Prophet ﷺ was sent as a guide for every single person. Whether you're a mother or a teacher or a student or a friend, whoever you are, you can find example in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. So when we're going to study the seerah, what is going to be our objective? We're going to study his life and extract lessons. Practical life lessons. So as we study, let's revive our intention. Okay? Why are we studying? Why are we teaching? Why are we reviewing the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What's the reason? Be very clear, because unless the reason, the objective is clear in your mind, you won't reach it. And if you don't have a plan, then you're not going to get anything out of it. So when you start something, you need to make sure, what is it that you want to achieve? So I'm asking you, what do you want to achieve by studying the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? She wants to learn how to deal with children. Very good. What else? We want to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than we love ourselves, our children, our families. What else? So study his life and adopt his way. So first and foremost, we want to do this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make Allah happy with us. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Is there any doubt about that? He was Habibullah. So if we study the life of Allah's Habib, you think Allah would like that? You think Allah would like that? If we're reading a book, if we're listening to something, if we're spending some time thinking about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reflecting on his life, you think this is an action that Allah would appreciate? Yes, he would. So let's do it for that reason. That, Ya Allah, I'm studying the life of the man who was most beloved to you, so that you can be happy with me. And why am I studying his life? To learn the way he lived, because his way was the most beloved to you, Ya Allah. And perhaps if I learn that, if I study that, if I read that, maybe I will also follow. Maybe my actions will change. Maybe my lifestyle will change. Maybe my demeanor will also improve. Maybe my mannerisms will also improve. So the reason is, the main goal is then to beautify our knowledge as well as our actions. To increase in our knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also to improve our actions. Remember, this journey is not just going to be for the sake of increasing our ilm. Because there are many people who study the life of the Prophet ﷺ and they have more knowledge, okay, than we could have by studying this one book. But yet those people don't believe in the Prophet ﷺ. If you look at the books that have been written about the Prophet ﷺ, so many of those authors are non-Muslim. So many. So is our objective just to increase in our knowledge of Rasulullah ﷺ? If that's the case, then you know what? Those non-Muslims are better off than us because they have more knowledge. They've studied more. They've done more research. They've read thousands of books. Then how are we truly going to benefit? When we increase in our knowledge and our actions also change. When we increase in our knowledge and we take Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an example to follow, as a leader. When we grow in our love and our appreciation for him, and not just stop there, but really obey him and follow him. This is when we're going to benefit. This is when we're going to be successful. Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas, radiallahu anhu, he used to teach his children the seerah. And his son Muhammad, he would say that our father would teach us the seerah, and he would tell us, these were the ways of your forefathers, so learn them. Learn the seerah. Why? Because these are your roots. So, as Muslims, what are our roots? The time of the Sahaba, the time of the Prophet ﷺ, because that is where Islam came from. Correct? That is when it was established. So we must be familiar with our roots, our foundations. Ali ibn Hussein, one of the great grandsons of Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, we were taught seerah like the way we were taught the Quran. We were taught seerah just as we were taught the Quran. So how are we going to study seerah now? How? Just as we study the Quran. When we study the Quran, do we say, oh yeah, these verses are talking about this theme, so yeah, just move on. Just move on. Yeah, I know this already. Yeah, I've heard of this already. Let's move on. No. When you're studying the Quran, what's your focus? Okay, this ayah, even though this message was given earlier, but this ayah has been mentioned in a different way, and we can learn this lesson from this ayah. So when we're studying the seerah, don't think like, I know this stuff from before. I know all these stories. Yeah, I've read them many times. I did Islamiyat and Islamic studies and so on and so forth. No, our purpose is not just to increase in our knowledge. What is our purpose? Extract lessons. So whether you are studying seerah for the first time or the second time or the third time or the fourth time or the gazillionth time, whatever. What is our objective here? Extract lessons. And please don't leave that to me only, that I should be extracting lessons and presenting them to you on a platter. All right? You should be engaged in extracting lessons as well. So embark this journey with full attention, with mindfulness. Consider this journey to be ibadah, an act of worship, and do not consider this to be a burden. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a great gift in the form of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the study of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a means to attain Allah's love. It's a means to deepen our understanding of the Quran, to perfect our iman. There's a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that no one will taste the sweetness of faith until he loves a person only for the sake of Allah, and until he would rather be thrown in the fire than to return to unbelief, and until Allah and His Messenger are more beloved to him than anything else. When will a person experience the joy, the sweetness of faith? When? When he will love Allah and His Messenger more than who? Anything, anyone else. That is when a person will find comfort in his faith. He will be confident in his faith, in his religion. Having that iman will bring him comfort, coolness, tranquility. Then that faith has really taken a place in his life. When will a person reach that state? When he will love Allah and His Messenger more than anybody else, more than anything else. And if we want to know how the Prophet ﷺ is to be loved, then we need to look at the Sahaba. Umar radiallahu anhu, when he learnt that iman is not complete until you love Allah and His Messenger and His Messenger more than any other human being. He was very honest. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I love you, but I love myself more than you. The Prophet ﷺ said, no, then it's not yet. Not yet, meaning you haven't reached the perfection of faith then. Until you love me more than yourself even. And then Umar radiallahu anhu, it's as if he consciously embraced that love and he consciously prioritized. No, okay, yes, I love you more than myself. I have to prefer you over myself. So you have to make that conscious effort. Set this as your goal. I want to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than I love myself, more than I love my children. Think about your children. My son, my daughter, you know, think about them. Bring their names to your mind. I want to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than my son Ahmad, more than my daughter Fatima, more than my daughter Radia, more than my son Nafir, more than my husband, more than my mother, more than my father. This is my goal. Because until we reach there, our iman is not complete. It is not complete. We cannot follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Think about how much time we spend serving those who are close to us. How much we cry for them. How much we care for them. We stand hours cooking, cleaning, doing laundry. In whose service? The service of those who are close to us. What about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We need to love him more than we love anybody else. That is our goal. And we see the companions truly did that. And when they experienced that love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they considered themselves successful. We see that Amr bin al-As, when he was close to his death, he said to his son, there have been three periods in my life. He said, there have been three periods in my life. The first was when the Prophet ﷺ was the most hated man to me. I hated him. And I wanted to kill him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cast the love for him in my heart. And he became the most beloved man to me. And then we did what we did along with him. Meaning we strove with him. We did so many things with him. And that was the joy of faith that I experienced. So much so that had I died during that time, I would know that I have departed with good. And then came the time after his life, meaning the Prophet ﷺ passed away and I was still alive. And now we have fallen in the state that we have fallen, meaning into so many problems. So I'm only hopeful for Allah's mercy. You see how he considered himself successful when he had the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his heart. So we cannot consider ourselves saved, successful in worldly terms or religious terms. We cannot consider ourselves beloved of Allah until we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until we love him. Now this is something that we acknowledge. If you ask any Muslim, which person do you love the most? What's the answer? What's the right answer? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the reason why we see that wherever there is a Muslim population, the most common name over there is which name? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a sign of love, right? Muslims do love their messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if they do not know him that well. But my dear sisters, real love and real appreciation comes with in-depth knowledge. It comes with awareness. The Prophet ﷺ, he is such that the closer a person got to him, the more they increased in their love and appreciation of the Prophet ﷺ. The Sahaba, how did they increase in their love for him? When they were with him, when they got closer to him, when they spent time with him, when they traveled with him, when they saw him, when they prayed with him, when they fought with him, by his side, when they defended him. We cannot see the Prophet ﷺ today. We cannot prepare food and give him. We cannot stitch clothes and give him. We cannot do anything of the sort to show our love for him. So how can we get closer to Rasulullah ﷺ? By gaining knowledge about him. Because true love comes with in-depth knowledge. The more you study Rasulullah ﷺ, the more you love Him, the more you appreciate Him. And you have to know Him yourself. Yourself. Don't know Him through your mother or through your father or through your teacher. Yeah, your teacher told you something and okay, yeah, I appreciate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, study Him for yourself. Appreciate Him yourself. Love Him yourself. Because it is of the signs of the hour, it is of the signs of the Day of Judgment that people will become ignorant of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they will become distant from his seerah. And we don't want to be of those people. We don't want to be of this people. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he said that the people used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about good things. He said, but I used to ask him about evil out of fear that evil might overtake me. So he said that once I asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Allah's Messenger, we were in ignorance and in evil, meaning before Islam, and Allah sent Islam that we accepted, and He also sent you to us. Now we are in a state of good. Will there be any evil after this good? He said, O Hudhayfa, read the book of Allah and observe its commandments. Read the book of Allah, observe its commandments. Read the book of Allah, observe its commandments. So basically the Prophet ﷺ was hinting that yes, there will be evil, but I don't want to say that to you. So Hudhayfa understood that there will be evil. So he said, O Messenger of Allah, will there be good after that? He said, yes, but it will be tainted with evil. So he asked, what is that evil? The Prophet ﷺ said, there will be some leaders after me who will not follow my sunnah and will adopt a seerah other than mine. They will adopt a seerah other than mine. You will find some of their actions good and some of their actions evil. And there will be some among them in the form of human beings, but their hearts are purely devil. Purely shaitan. And the Prophet ﷺ gave more of that description. So in this hadith, what do we see? That when people move away from the seerah, from the lifestyle of the Prophet ﷺ, then they're not upon good. They're not upon good. They're being led by who? People whose hearts are shaitan. So this is why we really need to look at the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ so that we can improve our lifestyle, our manners, our culture. We can live the way he lived. We can idealize his life. Because what is it that we idealize? What is it that we love? What is it that we move towards? That which we know, that which we appreciate. How can you appreciate the life of the Prophet ﷺ if you know him? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really give us the ability to study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the correct intention, and may we reach that goal as well. May this intention be truly realized, inshallah. Before I conclude, there is one homework for you, which is that inshallah a link will be emailed to you, and that is basically a brochure on what different people have said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because, you know, when we appreciate the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was successful, then we're going to be willing to study his life. Right? So please do read that. And also the first two pages. Okay? So that is page number, because the book begins from page number 17. So page number 17 to 20. I would like you to read that before the next class. So page number 17 to 20. And secondly, the link that will be emailed to you, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.